Joining us now from up in New York, Beth Page Black, the head golf professional up there, host of the Barclays, Joe Raylor joins us. What's up, Joe?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Man, we're doing awesome. You guys are in the rotation for this golf tournament. It's part of the FedEx Cup playoffs. Big deal, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's the first leg, and you know, in order for the players to move on, this becomes a big deal to them because FedEx money is very, very important to move on to the fourth stage, actually, where they can really make some money.
Now, when you found out this was going to be a rotational deal, did you view that as, hey, that's nice, it's kind of like hosting something every few years and we get to get amped up and then take a break from it, or was it disappointing that you couldn't host it all the time?
Well, actually, you know, we're going to be fairly busy. We've got the Barclays this year. We've got the PGA Championship in 2019. Then we have another Barclays in 22 and then a Ryder Cup in 24, which is probably going to be the most, you know, the most exciting thing that we can do.
Yeah, sounds a little bit like the Quail Hollow. I mean, we got the PGA, we got a President's Cup, so we're just kind of spreading the wealth around a little bit. So, you know, when you start looking at it, I mean, you had two U.S. Opens. How does this course play different for a FedEx Cup playoff event than it played for U.S. Opens?
Well, actually, the biggest difference will be I don't think the PGA Tour is going to set it up as long as the USGA did. I actually was out there just recently, and the first cut of rough was about 2.5 to 3 inches. The second cut was a little bit gnarly. It got up to about 4 inches. And then we have a ton of fescue. And the fairways are much wider than the USGA set it up for the Open. But let me just tell you this. If this golf course plays fast and hard as we expect it to be, we've had a tremendous heat wave up here. So we've had to keep it a little bit on the damp side recently. But for the tournament, if the weather continues to be in the high 80s and we dry this baby out, it's going to play tough.
Well, I'll tell you what, Joe. I played it back in 08. I actually played it twice before the 09 U.S. Open, and it was very damp. The rough was gnarly, and I'm going to tell you what, it's probably the hardest golf course that I have ever played because the sheer fact at that point you had to, if you hit it in the rough and you couldn't get it on the green, you had to lay up because your fairways stop on a lot of holes, and you can't run it up. There's nowhere to run it up, so you got to land it out in the middle of the fairway 50 yards short and then try and get it up and down from there. So that's one of the reasons why I thought it was so difficult, because if you did go for the green and you missed it, it got pretty ugly at that point.
Well, it's pretty much the same now.
Yeah.
You know, the areas around the green are probably at about 3, 3.5 inches. So, I mean, if this ball comes in a little bit on the hot side and it doesn't check up, they're going to roll it back into this high stuff, and then, you know, who knows what's going to happen. They're going to have to chop it out. Remember, these are the best players in the world, though. So, you know, I'm not surprised with anything that they do.
So if you're looking at potentially that the PGA is going to set it up a little bit easier, maybe a little shorter and maybe not as punitive as the USGA would, which do you prefer? Not as someone who's going to go out and play it, but as somebody who's there every day and sees the course play, do you prefer it more difficult and really punishing, or a little friendlier?
Well, I think the fans want to see birdies. So, you know, the mentality of the PGA Tour and the PGA of America versus the USGA is quite different, I think. The USGA is, they want to punish the pros. And in a lot of cases, you know, I don't quite agree with that, but listen, that's their mentality. The PGA Tour, as I said, and the PGA of America, you know, they don't mind pros making birdies because these are the best players in the world, and they want to give them a condition that's fair.
All right, well, so in 2012, the winning score was minus 10. Is that
yep.
Is that reasonable to look at for the tournament coming up?
I would say, depending on the weather again, if it gets hard and fast, I think it'll be a little bit less. You know, the mean score that we always shoot for in these tournaments is somewhere about 8 under. The first day in 2012, the golf course was set up very soft and on the short side, and these guys shot some very low numbers. And then as we firmed it up and toughened it up a little bit, the numbers went up each and every day. So, you know, what started to be, in my estimation, a very easy golf course became a fair but difficult golf course for Saturday and Sunday.
Well, I mean, Beth Page doesn't need any more promotion. I mean, the whole world knows about it. You got 50 guys sleeping in their cars every day to come play it. But, you know, what kind of a story would you like to see come out of it? You know, is there someone who comes from deep in the pack who, you know, maybe is unexpected, or you like chalk, you want to have a big-time winner? When you start thinking about this tournament and the dream outcome for you as a fan and somebody who's there every day who can tell the stories for the next 25 years, what would you like to see happen?
Well, I know the fans are going to be rooting like hell for Phil Mickelson. He's the New York idol. So, you know, that's one storyline. But I think, just as, you know, in 12 when Watney won it, I think someone's going to come out of the pack, someone that we haven't heard too much about, that's going to post a low number, you know, somewhere around 8 to 10 under, and they're going to walk away with this tournament.
Again, we're talking with the head golf professional up at Bethpage. Mr. Joe Rahor joins us. And Joe, how many rounds a year do you put on the courses out there?
Actually, last year we were a little bit on the slow side because, if you remember, the spring of last year up in the Northeast was just horrendous. We had tremendous ice damage, but we did almost 200,000 rounds for the five golf courses.
Wow. I mean, because you guys are a destination golf course, though, and people have it as a bucket list item, do you view your own rounds as any indication of the health of the sport, or do you really, we got to look elsewhere?
Well, you know what? I've been talking about golf and rounds for a long, long time. I've been at Bethpage for 38 years, and to be quite honest with you, the health of the game is not, in my opinion, not very good right now. The game is very difficult. The golf courses are getting more difficult. The time factor is ridiculously slow now. You know, the public watches these people play on TV, and they emulate everything they do, and that means standing over a 3-foot putt for 2 minutes, you know. So it's taking too long to play, and it's too expensive. I mean, the cost of playing golf is getting to be very, very expensive. So in the Northeast, I can tell you right now, all rounds of golf, even with a great spring this year, are flat at best.
Mm. Wow. So, I mean, when you start talking about how do you get people out to your golf course? Is it based on price? Is it based on how long it's taken people to play around a golf? I mean, we've seen the USGA try and encourage, you know, 9-hole rounds. I've heard 12-hole rounds. I mean, the way I look at it is, if you set up a golf course to accommodate a faster round, people will play faster. If you have 18 sets of tee boxes out there, then you're going to get people playing tee boxes they shouldn't. I mean, do we need to simplify things to get it to go quicker?
Yes and no, because again, if you're at a venue that is in the business of hosting championship golf, we have to have more than one tee box. So that becomes a problem. And to be quite honest with you, you know, when one golf course gets a tremendous amount of notoriety, it's the old copycat routine. You know, what are they doing that we're not? Okay. What can we do to be just like them? And so on and so forth. So, you know, I see a lot of that happening in the golf business.
Yeah. And, you know, to your point, Bethpage might be a bad example because it is a destination. It is a bucket list place. And everybody who gets out there, no matter how good they are, they want to play at least one hole from the tips where the pros are playing. But your average muni public golf course, or even some of your smaller private courses, you know, cut the trees up a little higher, cut the rough down a little bit, speed it up. I loved the idea of the family tees, and that's, but nobody's playing them.
No, you're exactly right. Everybody wants to, you know, be a sadist. I mean, they want to play it all the way back. They want to say they played the golf course where the pros played it, you know, in the U.S. Open, or whether it's the Barclays or whatever it might be, you know, and they see these guys and they think they can do the same thing.
So when you sit in meetings with other guys in the industry, are there any good ideas floating around that might help this problem?
In my opinion, I think to me, the game should be a 12-hole game. I think, you know, you take an 18-hole golf course, you play two sixes, and if the guy wants to play the third six, he can play the third six to make 18. But it's going to satisfy a lot of wives. They're going to see their husbands. They're going to be able to take care of their kids, send them to soccer, bring their kids to soccer or baseball. You know, don't forget, all these kids are playing in organized sports today. They need a parent there. So, you know, it's organized sports, travel teams, so on and so forth, are taking precedence, in my opinion, over a lot of people that were playing golf in the past.
Yeah, I mean, the days of a dad leaving for 5 hours on a Saturday and nobody thinking of it, or a mom leaving and going and playing a tennis tournament on the weekend for five hours, or playing golf for 5 hours, that's unheard of. If you're not at every one of your kids' events, and in some cases, practice.
Practice?
Practice.
Yeah, I mean, you're like viewed as a bad parent. It's crazy.
Yeah, it sure is. And, you know, and listen, I see it with my own son-in-law. Here's a guy that used to play golf, you know, one or two times a week. I mean, if he plays one or two times a year now, it's a lot, okay? Yeah. We're involved with a lot of lacrosse happenings, and, you know, that takes precedence over everything else.
All right, I'm going to put your feet to the fire now. When we start talking about the Barclays and guys that may be coming in hot and the way the golf course may set up, who are your favorites? Who are the guys that you're looking at going, okay, these are the three guys that I think have a chance of winning?
Well, obviously, you know, I'd be foolish not to talk about Jason Day. I mean, you know, I think he definitely has a very good possibility. Dustin Johnson, DJs, you know, but you don't know what his mind is thinking about that particular week. And I'm going to give you a sleeper. I'm going to tell you about a young man who won in Houston this year, who happens to be a very dear friend of mine and is playing extremely well right now, and that's Jim Herman.
Wow, I like that. I like the sleeper pick.
Yeah, that's a sleeper. Remember that one.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, as you guys start preparing for PGA Championship in 2019, are there going to be any changes that happen to any holes in the golf course that you see?
The only change that is being kicked around, and to be quite honest with you, I don't think anything will come of it, is the 18th hole, changing the 18th hole and adding about 40 yards to it. But again, you know, we just had the New York State Open, which we host every year for the Metropolitan PGA, and every hole on the golf course played over par, and 18, which is the hole that is always talked about as a weak finishing hole, played almost a half a stroke over par. So, you know, if these are the best players in the Met section, which is a pretty good playing section, I mean, the hole stands up for itself.
Yeah, I mean, let's say we're talking way off in the future to the Ryder Cup, but you know people are looking at this course and the USGA looks at it, the PGA looks at it. You know, who's going to set the course up the most friendly for play? Honest to goodness, who's going to set the course up just for scoring?
I think the PGA Tour usually sets the golf course up a little bit on the easier side. You know, when they get to Georgia for the last stage, it may be set up a little more difficult. But, you know, I think the golf course itself is a stand-up golf course. I think that you can do whatever you want to do with it. If you let the rough grow up a little bit and you push the tees back, remember, we can go back to almost 7,500. So if we push the tees back and leave that rough nice and gnarly as it is right now, I don't know what you can do other than, you know, make it a little bit shorter maybe. But, again, these guys are really good. I keep saying the same thing. They're really good.
Well, Joe, we appreciate you hopping on with us. We look forward to a great Barclays up there, and we'll be watching as we roll towards 2019.
You got it. Anytime, guys. Hope you had a good time.
Thanks a lot.